Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. Happy Father's Day to everyone. And it's a special Father's Day for me because my whole family's at church together. And that's been a big deal for us for a while. Between moving and between Bible camp and between my mission trip, it's been about a month that we've all been together. Tough. I'm having to clean house now. It's been an enjoyable day so far for me. Everybody else here has had an enjoyable day as well. Father's Day is something which is pretty important, I think, for us to remember. Oftentimes we focus on mothers, which we should, but also have an important part, role of the family. I ran across some quotes this week. Let me share them with you. A father is someone who carries pictures in his wallet where the money used to be. When a real father doesn't have your hand, that means he has your back. The older I get, the smarter my father seems to get. Being a great father is like shaving. No matter how well you shave today, you got to do it tomorrow. The quality of a father is measured in the goals, dreams, and aspirations he sets for himself and for his family. By the night, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. A father doesn't just say that he loves you, he knows it. Every girl's first true love is her father. A father is someone who is proud to see you get your first car, but secretly wishes it had no keys. It's easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father. And the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Those are just a few of the quotes that you can run across, which show the beauty that the family is that God designs. Now, of course, families aren't always the way God designed, are they? And we know that in our country, every year since the year 2002, more children have been born out of wedlock than have been born in wedlock. But as you and I read through our Bibles, we see an example of both bad fathers and good fathers. We see the example of, say, Abraham, a man who raised his family and prayed for his son Isaac to come. And when Isaac came, he put Isaac before everything else except God. But then you see examples like Isaac, who, as he grew later in life, began to be fooled and tricked by his children and his wife, and seemed to be more satisfied with his own pleasures than he did with trying to raise his family the way they should go. We see people such as Jacob, who, with his two wives and the decisions that he made early in life, and we see the issues that he had for the rest of his life answering for those problems. We see David, who, even though Absalom rebelled against him and tried to kill him, Absalom was loved by his father, even in death. And we see so many different examples. Hezekiah, who, because of the decision which he made, caused his nation to go into exile. And even though he had Manasseh, and even though he loved Manasseh, the decisions which he made caused great problems in the land. And so, this week, as I was looking across all these examples of fathers in the Bible, I was trying to find just the one to speak about today and just the one to use as an example of what you and I should be like today. And the one I chose today is Joseph. Now, that seems to be a strange choice because as you read the accounts of Joseph in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke, you see very, very, very few words that he ever says. As a matter of fact, many religious groups worship and honor Mary almost as the equivalent of Jesus, sometimes greater than Jesus, but very few people ever mention Joseph. And once Jesus reaches the age of 12, you never read about Joseph again. In his life, we see a quiet leadership and a quiet strength which is there. And I think that example that's given there is an example for me and to look towards and to follow after. And Joseph is chose. Now, when you talk about fathers today, it's something which is difficult to do because the definition of what it means to be a man hasn't. And from the long, quiet type, which we had to go to the fuzzy, lovey-dovey guy who we see just a few years ago, there's a lot of change of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a father. And so notice in the life of Joseph, what we see here. The first thing I think we'll notice is that Joseph was a merciful man. Now imagine if you are living life in Israel in a very conservative place and you become betrothed or engaged to a beautiful young lady. Now, their engaging process is a little bit different than ours. You'd become betrothed or engaged to a lady, and you would be in that period of engagement for sometimes over a year. And you would have to go and you'd have to build a place and you'd have to prepare it just right to prove that you can support your wife. And then after that time came and after it was approved by your family and her family, then you can marry. Well, Joseph was beginning this process and he was engaged to Mary and everything seemed to be going well. Until, as we read there in chapter 1 and verse 19, he recognized that the girl he was engaged to was with child. She was pregnant. And not only would that be a scandal in that day, but Joseph obviously knew that he was not the father. And since God had not yet come to him and told him specifically what was going on, we see where Joseph was in a very difficult situation. Here's a woman that he loves. Here's a woman that he has chosen to be the mother of his children, and she is pregnant with someone else's baby. And we know under the old law in the Old Testament, the command was if a woman committed adultery, that she was to be stoned, that she was to be put to death. And that is what Mary deserved, but Mary did not marry someone who was always looking to try to get revenge. Joseph, being a just man, decided to put her away secretly. And so what we see in this passage was that Joseph was not going to sin, but he also, because of his love for Mary, was going to try to work and live in as merciful a way as possible. And so as you and I look at that example, we see that Joseph was merciful, and he showed love even though he had been wronged, at least in his mind, before he realized from God what was going on. And I think that's an example for fathers today to remember and to notice. You see, Christianity is not always about getting our rights. Christianity is not always about, you know, I get what I deserve and I'm going to get whoever else tries to bother me. Christianity is about showing love, mercy, and grace. Even as God has loved us, so also we must love one another. Notice this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, of husbands and wives in marriage. As you start in 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 1, he starts talking about how wives need, and they need to clothe themselves not with clothes that show off, but in a way that shows off their spirit and their gentleness and their humility. But as Peter talks to those folks in 1st 6 verse 7, he turns around, inspired by the Holy Spirit, likewise, dwell with your wife, giving honor to the wife as to the treasured or the weaker vessel, knowing that you're heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be hindered. The kind of father that God looks for is one who is merciful, one who is kind, one who is loving, one who does not excuse sin and does not ignore sin and does not show that he doesn't care, but the one who does whatever it takes to show love and grace and mercy. Now, as you go in chapter 1 down to verse 24, you see not only was he a merciful man, but he was also open to the plan of God. He was a man who was open to God's plan. And as you and I read here, we see that he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. Now, think about that idea. Here is a woman who is with child, and God says, that child is mine. That child belongs to me. You need to marry her. That's a change in plan than what Joseph expected. Many of us who are married can think of what we thought marriage would be like before we got married and what marriage is like after we got married. Or maybe y'all can't. I can. And my wife certainly can. I think I hear pretty often, it wasn't this way before we got married. You didn't act this way before we got married. And we can tell some stories about that maybe later. Here was a man whose life changed in an instant. And for the rest of Joseph's life, things would be different because of Jesus and because of his presence, which he had there. And yet, even though things changed, he was willing to listen to God, and he was willing to allow God to change the plans which he had in his life. He was a man who was open to God's plans and would change whatever it took in order to be right with God. We see over there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41 where he was a man who was very religious. Every year he went to Jerusalem for the Passover. He obeyed those commands and took that long trip, that long journey, in order to be faithful to God. And Joseph was someone who wanted to put God first, even when it was inconvenient, even when it seemed strange, or even when it seemed to be different than what he thought life would be like before. Now, how does that apply to us today? How open are you and I to the plans which God has for us? The attendance on Father's Day is never as much as it is on Mother's Day. And I haven't gone through the census on our church accounts or whatever to see what the ratio is of this congregation of men to women. I can almost guarantee you there's more ladies here today than there are men. Because ladies are usually more open to the plan of God. Women usually oftentimes see the need for God and for religion in their lives more so than men do. And yet Joseph, even though he naturally may not be as inclined towards God as maybe some ladies are, Joseph was a man who was open to God. And you and I as men need to open ourselves up to the plan of God. Church attendance is important, not only for the man's soul, but in leadership to the family, and support to the wife. And we have an obligation to be here to bless God, to bless ourselves, and to be an example. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua in that passage tells the children of Israel near the end of his life, he says, you know, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, whether it be the God of the Moabites who had just been destroyed, or the Perizzites, or all these other nations, even all the way back to Egypt. And notice each one of those nations that he brings up has been destroyed by God. And he said, if you want to follow those gods, you go right ahead. But as for me and my house, and he did that verse, he says, as for me and my house, we will obey God. We will follow God. And it's the obligation of every man to be a leader of his family. It's an obligation to every man to try to ensure that his family follows God and that he is the support and he is the leader in showing the way to follow. Number three, Joseph was willing to sacrifice. As we go over to the book of Luke in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we see where the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days, a decree came out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be censused or registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him at the inn. Now, why would you bring up that passage when you talk about sacrifice? If you ever traveled with a pregnant lady, that's something, isn't it? And here's Joseph traveling, going along with his wife, and coming down here, and you see how much he sacrifices as he goes with her, and as he travels along with her. And you can imagine what Joseph would go through as he tried to find an inn or a place that would be proper for her to have a child. And you can imagine what it was like as they were in that cave or manger as Jesus came into this world. I remember when my oldest son was born that, you know, I miss the days, or I wish I lived in the days where the doctor was in the waiting room and he would come and say, you had a boy and here's a cigar or something. I didn't live in that day. Nowadays, they say, you got to be in a room with her. Wow, that's tough. Now, I remember being in there while Kyla was having Matthew, and the doctor finally said, you know, you look awfully sickly. Go over to the corner, and he turned on Mississippi State was having a bowl game. He said, watch the game, and I'll tell you how it goes. I didn't exactly watch the game, but I kind of turned around that way. Well, Joseph was a man who was willing to sacrifice as he went through those things, but it goes further beyond that. Because as you continue to read through this passage, you see not only did he take his pregnant wife to there to be registered, but then he had to leave and go to Egypt to flee so that the child could live. And later he came back and he had to live in a different region of the country. And as you see these things, you recognize very quickly Joseph's life was turned upside down. Because what did Joseph do for a living? He was a carpenter. Now, those who are carpenters or those who are plumbers recognize that the way that you develop your business is by you develop a clientele or customers. If you live in a certain area, you're able to build up people who will call a carpenter and call you to do a remodel or call you to do the things which carpenters do. Now, when you live in a different part of the country, you have to start again from scratch. And you have to start again to try to rebuild trust and try to get people to trust you enough in order to hire you. Well, Joseph had his life turned upside down by this child. And we see oftentimes fathers today have to be willing to sacrifice for their children. Fathers today sacrifice for their children financially. Not counting college, not counting an automobile, it costs an average of $300,000 for a child to go from birth all the way to college. Now, before I had children, I thought, there is no way. Now that I have two boys, that may be low. But you see, we suffer financially, but we do it because we love our children, and we do it because that's God's example for each one of us. We also have to provide spiritually. It's not enough just to put the wife and children and say, you go to church. It's not enough just to sit in the pew. You have to show leadership in church, and you have to show your children that God is the center point of life. And that God truly matters. If the only time your children hear about God are in the walls of this building, you're not doing what you need to do. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9 teaches about how we need to talk about God when we're at home and when we're away from home, when we're laying down. Back then, it says in a couch or on a bed. Today, it's a couch. Or whether you're walking here and there. It needs to be all over your house. It needs to be all over yourself, Moses says. And so we need to sacrifice and give time in order to show our children the importance that God plays in our life and the importance that God is to each and every one of us. Children need our time. They need our manners. They need our thought process. They need our heart. And we have to be willing to sacrifice. And sometimes give up things that we think are important, or sometimes give up things which we treasure so that our children can grow and so that fathers can be what God wants them to be. But our last point I want us to look at today is I want us to notice that Joseph had an impact on his son. He had an impact on his son. And notice, if you will, in this next slide, we're going to have a chart where we see there in chapter 13 and verse 55, those looking at Jesus said, wait a second, this son, this boy is his father's son. This is the carpenter's son who we see. Now, sometimes we think that Jesus popped out of the womb, was born, able to quote scripture and able to be everything that the Son of God needed to be. But that's not necessarily the case. Yes, Jesus was different because he was all man and all God. But we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And what that passage teaches us is that Jesus had to be trained and had to be taught the word of God and how to treat other people and exactly what it meant to be a Jewish male in that society and at that time. And yes, he had a strong influence from God, but I think we can also see he had a pretty strong influence from Joseph. And while Joseph may not have spoken much in Scripture, you can more or less see an imprint, if you will, upon Jesus by many of the actions of Joseph. As we go through this chart, we see where Joseph was merciful in the way that he treated Mary. That even though Mary was with child, instead of wanting to have Mary punished, Joseph determined that he was going to put her away secretly and quietly to try to reserve her honor. A few years later, as we look there in John chapter 8 and verse 11, we see where Jesus is talking to a woman who was caught in adultery. And while everybody who was around is saying, stone her and put her to death, show that you are a righteous man, Jesus turns and says, let you who are without sin cast that first stone. You see the influence of a father upon a son. We go a little bit later and we see where Joseph was open to God's plan in order to travel, in order to change his life, in order to move and very possibly lose a lot of his business. He's willing to sacrifice because of God's plan. Near the end of the earthly life of Jesus, we see Jesus praying in the garden, saying, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done." As we look at the life of Jesus, we see his willingness to sacrifice. And we see his willingness in order to give up for his children. And then we see Jesus on the cross in Luke 23, verse 34. Where he looks at that crowd who is spitting at him, hurling stones at him, who is blaspheming against him, even the thieves on either side. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We see Joseph having an impact among others as he showed his family how to live and as he showed his family what they needed to do. And we see in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whoever should believe in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. As we continue along, we see that successful fathers have a great impact upon their children. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we see where children are to obey their parents because it's the first promise given in Scripture. But we see in verse 4 of Ephesians 6, where Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives fathers a battle plan, a lesson plan. As he tells them how they should act, he says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." That word provoke, if you look a little bit deeper in the original language, means to stir. And there are some fathers who stir their children to become what they shouldn't be. Sometimes it's through jealousy. Sometimes it's through picking on them. Sometimes it's through neglect. And God says, "Fathers, don't you treat your child to raise them up to be what they should not be, but raise them up to follow God. Raise them up with the example they need to know who God is and how Christian men and ladies need to act. Train them up to be what they need to be." We all know that classic passage over in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. And as you and I think about this passage, we recognize that Proverbs are really, oftentimes as we look at them, not always hard and fast rules, but they're principles. And we see in Proverbs 22:6 where the writer says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Joseph was not a flashy person. He was not somebody who was eloquent. He spoke quite a bit that we see in Scripture. But of all the people that God chose to be the father to his son, God chose Joseph. As you and I look at our lives today, and as you and I honor fathers today, we see the importance of each one of us to be merciful to others. Because if we give other people what they deserve, God may give us just what we deserve. We see the importance of being open to the plan of God, and we recognize that God oftentimes will lead us in ways that we did not expect to go. But we see the importance of being faithful even to the point of death. We see that oftentimes as Christians, we must be willing to sacrifice. We must be willing to give up ourselves and follow after Jesus. We read in the book of Luke that if any man desires to come after Jesus, he must deny himself daily, take up that cross daily, and follow after Jesus. And we must recognize the impact we have upon other people. We are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. As you and I today honor fathers, let's be sure that we honor first and foremost the Heavenly Father, the one who gave up his son for us, the one who, as Travis prayed earlier as we're taking communion, wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, the one who has blessed us in so many ways, but most especially with time, so that we can be faithful to him and grow closer to Him each and every day. This morning, the greatest way to honor your Heavenly Father is to be His child. And you do so by being willing to trust and believe in Him. You do so by changing your life to conform to Him, that is, through repentance. And you do so by being baptized for the remission of your sins. It's a wonderful opportunity that's given to each and every person living today to be a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God." This morning, if you need to obey the gospel, or if you need the prayers of the church, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.